Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, November 13th already. Can't believe it. This year's flying by. We know it's somewhere near Thanksgiving because we got a great guest in tonight, Chet Christner. Thanks for being here, man.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me again.
Man, it's always a pleasure to have you here. So, of course, you're with SpeedShift TV now, and we'll get into some of that. Hosting tonight along with myself, Mr. Gary Wyatt. I used to say the man on the mission, but it scares me every time I say that because I'm not sure what that mission is.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for being here, Chet.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me. This is my traditional visit now. And every year I look forward to this.
You know what? And if you didn't come, we'd think something was wrong. So we look forward to it, too. We appreciate you being here. And I wish Justin was here. What happened to him?
He's working. Working.
Sounds like an excuse to me.
That's right. Always.
who would work instead of come here, right?
Yeah. Well, the question I have is last year, whenever I was here, JJ was usually here,
yep.
And then he didn't show up because he had an excuse. And now Justin's not here because he has an excuse. Is it me? Is it something I'm doing?
And I want to say one year I probably wasn't here. Because we're taking our turns, man.
Just remember, I'll always be here.
Oh, okay.
It's always good to know. So,
if I have to crawl in here, I will be in here.
You know what? And really, you know, he is a push because you know how it is. Sometimes you get so busy, like, man, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this tonight. And Gary's like, hey, where the hell are you, man? You coming?
Yes, I'm coming.
You're like the wife.
Yeah.
You're the wife of
gotta
the show.
Keep things rolling.
All right. That's a good thing, by the way.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Chet. You know, if people don't know who you are, they're crazy, first of all, back in this West Region area. But let's talk a little about who Chet is and what the hell you doing here this time of year.
Well, this is my break. And that's the thing, too. I know you guys had a local radio show, and I used to be on here, and people used to know who I was out here. But I was at the Bullring and Las Vegas Motor Speedway for 10 years. Actually, last year, the Duel in the Desert was the last event that I have announced for Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Wow.
I had to say goodbye after that because we're just too busy with SpeedShift TV. And then, I travel all the time. I leave in March after the Cup race, usually right around that area because I do work at the dirt track with World of Outlaws. I announce their support classes for them. And then I pack up and leave and go on the road with SpeedShift and then get back here usually the end of October, 1st of November and kind of, I'm still based out of Las Vegas, but like even this month I'll travel. This weekend I'll be at Bakersfield Speedway for the November Classic.
Oh, cool.
And then the following week, Wednesday and Thursday, I'll be at Ventura Raceway for the Turkey Night Grand Prix. And then I fly back to Indianapolis for the Performance Racing Industry Show, big PRI show if you've ever been
PRI
there.
Shows,
oh,
I can't
so
believe
awesome.
That.
Yeah.
December, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here.
And then the week after that, we have a race in Des Moines, Illinois, an indoor race, a midget race we do down there. And then I'm off for, and then I head to Talladega Short Track, Hornet's Nest.
All this you're talking about is before Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we do Christmas, and then instantly right. January 2nd, I fly to Talladega and start the 2019 season.
And typically these are dirt tracks that you announce and do for the most part.
Okay, so I thought of you guys because obviously asphalt is a huge part out here, and we do almost all exclusively dirt track with the exception of Anderson Speedway in Anderson, Indiana. And I don't know if you've ever been there or not.
Never, I haven't.
It is an asphalt track. It's a quarter mile. It's high bank. And it is freaking awesome. And we do it's called the Little 500, and it's an asphalt sprint car race.
Oh.
And it's 500 laps.
Wow.
Two mandatory pit stops, and it all happens during the race. Like, they're pushing off sprint cars out into traffic.
No kidding.
And we've had, the winner came from four laps down. There was one point where there was four cars going into the corner, and the guy leading was actually in second place. First place was like in fourth place and second and third, but they were all like different laps from each other. And it was just, it's insane. It's an absolutely incredible race, but they run there weekly, and they do a Thursday night sprint car show. But Anderson Speedway, Anderson, Indiana, it's an asphalt track.
Wow.
It is super high banked. It's the world's fastest quarter mile, and
no
it is incredible.
We'll have to look that up. Can we find archives on SpeedShift?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, we have an on-demand. We call it SpeedShift VIP, and it's a yearly package where you can go back and watch every race that we broadcast.
Okay.
And there's literally, the last time I counted, which was last year, it was over 400 events up there.
Cool deal, man. That's really something else. I couldn't imagine doing 500 laps even on a quarter mile.
Oh, man.
After 35 laps, I'm looking at the board like, how many more we got?
And there's, if you go up on our Facebook page, and it might be one of our top 20 videos a year. I don't know if it's going to make it or not, but there's an in-car camera from Chris Windham has won the little 500 twice.
Wow.
And we put an in-car on him, and just to watch a lap around that place is just
amazing.
Yeah.
No
it's
kidding.
I have no idea how they do it.
We'll have to look that up. I've never been there. Obviously, don't get back to all the little tracks. You've probably been to more tracks now than you could even think of.
Yeah. I get to see a lot of really, really good tracks. I'm very, very fortunate in my job to do so, but yeah.
Because you visit so many tracks, do you have trouble keeping up with the names and the different racers that you run across? Or you kind of focus on...
Yeah, I'm fortunate in that regard. I work with a lot of diversity in racers, so there's certain racers that I keep track of no matter what.
Sure.
But one of the guys that works with us with SpeedShift, Nate Hartman, is he is a hardcore race fan.
Wow.
And Nate is my go-to. And if I want to know what late models are doing in Alabama or whatever, I just say, hey, Nate, who's winning down there? And he's like, oh, you're not going to believe us. And then he knows absolutely everything about every kind of racing out there all over the world. And that's which we're broadcasting races from New Zealand now too. So we're starting to get very, very global with SpeedShift, but yeah, he keeps track of all that. And I have no idea
how. Now you say you broadcast to New Zealand or from New Zealand?
From New Zealand.
So you're going to New Zealand?
I don't get to go.
Why not?
No.
Because
I'm me.
So, hey, if you go to New Zealand, are you going to call in the show while you're over there?
Yeah.
Wait,
you don't want me to do that.
Time it is.
Yeah, because they race over there. We do a season pass to watch all – it's Western Spring Speedway. We're partnered up with them, and we broadcast from there, and they race sprints and midgets and all kinds of cool stuff. And but it's – there the time difference where we are here, it starts at like 9:45 our time, but they're actually racing tomorrow.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's when they're racing.
Right.
And then when we race, it's the next day for them down there, usually around lunchtime is whenever our races start over here. So it's kind of – back and forth, but we'd have it on demand where as soon as the race is over, it's posted on demand. So whenever you get up in the morning, you can watch, or you can watch it the next night or whatever. So, but yeah,
that's different. Well, we hope you get to go to New Zealand.
Yeah, and me too. Tell me about it.
Who does it over there? Do you get someone local that works?
The
with
track
you there?
Has their own production company, and
okay.
So we've partnered up with them.
Cool.
And yeah, they were looking for an outlet for their broadcast, and we said, hey, guess what? We have one.
We have one. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's. It's neat because we had already built up a pretty good audience of people that watched racing from New Zealand and Australia and even Europe and South Korea.
Wow.
But it's neat to broadcast racing from there to our audience over here. And we're trying to help build the audience too, because I touch on this every year. I usually make a post about it in January whenever I get kind of, have some off time. I'm just sitting there thinking about the motorsports world is not a big world.
Right.
And we need to all kind of stick together, and I know sometimes you get some – I love every type of motorsport there is. I don't care. I drove an hour and a half to watch RC tractor pull one time.
That's pretty cool.
But a lot of times you'll have people that are only like asphalt or they only like dirt, and they talk down about the air. It's like, you need to understand we're all in this together. There's
right.
not many of us out here, and there's unfortunately getting to be less of us all the time.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You hate to hear the tracks closing, whether it's dirt, asphalt, motocross, doesn't matter.
RC car track.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to learn different languages so you can help broadcast to South Korea. And
I have a rough enough time with English. I'm not going to lie to you.
Then try to learn the names, right?
Yeah.
No, that's pretty cool.
Pronounce some of the names.
Yeah.
So you're saying you're off right now, so you get a chance to relax. Did you go out to do some Duel in the Desert stuff?
No, I was at Paris Auto Speedway for the Budweiser Oval Nationals.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm back here, but I'm not really off.
Sure.
I'm.
You're working.
Yeah, the only off weekends I have are Christmas, like a week or two around. I think I have 10 days off at Christmas. And then at the end of January, usually I have a month or so, or not a month, a couple weeks off then.
Okay.
But that's it. Other than that, it's pretty much we did 208 nights of racing this year.
Wow!
And then we did get more off nights. We had 34 rainouts.
Oh, wow.
34 rainouts.
How does that work with the rainouts? How do they handle it at these different tracks? Do they reschedule or do they like postpone to the next day?
Yeah,
or?
Some of them have rain dates. Kokomo Speedway is really good about scheduling rain dates in for their shows. That's a great track, too. Some of them, if it's a smaller show, they'll just cancel it. We'll just move on with life. Yeah. And it's just.
But that affects you guys.
It
huge,
does.
Because that's your. Obviously, your production.
Yeah,
suffering.
We did it. We've been doing it as a pay-per-view. We're a pay-per-view company. People will pay to watch, but we're starting to work towards, and we tried to transition this year. One of the big things with Speed Shift is we want to be fair to the tracks. We want to be fair to the people watching and stuff. And so we've always worked with the tracks to determine, pricing. Some promoters, like at the Oval Nationals, they requested a blackout, and they want a certain price point for their for the broadcast. And so we try to work with them because they are entitled to a portion of the profit,
right,
is how we look at it. But on the same note, we don't charge tracks to do anything. So if it's a rain out, we take the hit. We don't tell the track, hey, it costs us, $600 to get here. You owe us $600. We don't do that.
You just eat it and just
move on. Yep, because that's the risk. Because they're taking the risk of putting on the show.
Right.
I mean, and that's a big deal. Like you said, a lot of these tracks are closing, and a lot of them, I think more than people realize, do it because they're passionate about the sport. They're not making $1 million at these racetracks.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Well, that I guess when you look at 208, production races that you do, 34, it's a hit, but, life goes on. You're still able to make up for that. So it's good that you guys do that.
Fortunately, we're diverse enough that we do. That was another thing with Speed Shift is we don't broadcast just one sanction or one type of race or whatever. We do a little bit of everything. We don't really care if it's racing. We've actually in the past have messed around a little bit with tractor pulls and stuff like that too, just to diversify. But we kind of found our niche with dirt track racing seems to be. Well, like I said, Anderson Speedway is an asphalt track, and that's really the only asphalt track we do. And it's not because that's the only one it's just that there's not that many asphalt tracks out there.
Right. So. And of course that's, sounds like a huge event for them out there, a 500 lapper on a quarter mile. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But how many cars start that?
Brace yourself for this. They start 33, 11 rows deep, 3 wide on a quarter mile track.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, 3 wide they start it.
Well, I guess if you haven't seen anything, go to Speedship TV and find this race. Going to.
Little 500 is just staggering. And the names that they get out there, Tony Storrs ran it last year. He didn't run it this year, but he ran it last year for the Hoffman Racing Team. But they get a lot of really good names, lot of big names that run it. And then it's actually over 3 days. They have a qualifying day, a bump day, and then race day on Saturday. But, yeah, it's phenomenal. Absolutely. Stands are packed.
Stands
all the way around the racetrack. The stands are packed. The campground is packed. People are having a good time. They have homemade ice cream. I'm happy. Yeah.
They bring it up to you. Yeah. Cool. That's interesting. That definitely going to look that up. What's the best way somebody can go find, let's say, a race like that? If a guy like me that's maybe never been there or something like that could look something up.
Well, actually, one of the things that we always try to do with SpeedShift is I feel like we're more of a marketing company than we are a broadcast company. So we're trying to help these racetracks expose themselves to other, and I mean that in a good Christian way, to other people around the nation. But if you go to SpeedShift and look on our schedule, a lot of times we'll have a link to event info.
Okay.
And so it'll actually take you to their website or their Facebook page where you can purchase tickets and stuff like that for the venue itself.
Okay.
So.
I know the way your schedule is laid out, it's mostly upcoming events, but you have links up on top. You have one that specifically says archived events.
It does. It's called Replay or
Replay.
On Demand.
Okay, so On Demand Replay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we'll have to look for that.
Look up Little 500. If you search our Facebook page, you'll find the highlight from this year. Okay. It's absolutely incredible.
Maybe short tracks around this area will follow in their footsteps.
Hopefully. You get a 500 lap race with two mandatory pit stops with cars that have to be push started.
That's amazing. That's insane. But cool. You said the next race you have coming up here is what, this coming weekend?
Yeah, it's a November Classic down Bakersfield Speedway with the USAC National Midget Series runs down there. It's only the second year they've done it. And Bakersfield, one of those tracks that, I mean, whenever I used to live here in Vegas, which I technically still do, but whenever I was here all the time, we used to drive out to Bakersfield just to watch a modified special or something like that, and then drive back that same night just to go. So, yeah, I love Bakersfield, and really good event, good drivers. And again, that's one of those deals where it only happens once a year for them. And so it's a big deal for Bakersfield.
Do you find like with SpeedShift TV, the sprint cars are probably more predominant and when the tracks want to get you involved or is it?
Yeah, it's one of those deals where
special events that they have.
And we do, and a lot of people think that we do a lot of sprint car stuff. It's okay. Just, we just kind of moved into that area, if you will, but we still do a lot of modifieds with IMCA modifieds. We do a lot of stuff with the IMCA modifieds, USRA modifieds, UMP modifieds. We do a lot of modified stuff. A couple late model shows, not as many, okay. But it seems like we're kind of split between those two.
Yeah. Do you, I guess, ideally, but do you ever have a request for a series, let's say a SRL Spears late model type series where it's a huge series, you know?
Yeah, we do. We're doing a lot. And actually we have, I'm not really allowed to talk about it much, but
we won't.
But
like
the All-Star Circuit of Champions, we have some really cool stuff going on with them,
cool.
Which is the 410 Outlaw 410 cars.
Okay.
They Tony Stewart owns that series in the Articat All-Star Circuit Champions, and they run mainly through Ohio and Pennsylvania and out in that neck of the woods, and they have a lot of really, really big events, and we do a lot of those, and next year there's excitement around it. We'll just leave it at that.
All right,
so
well,
that's kind of
we'll keep an eye on speedshifttv.com. Make sure you keep up to date on that and just keep visiting there because obviously there's some cool stuff coming up. Alongside of the stuff, cool stuff that you have going on right now.
Do you do
all the announcing for?
No, when we first started, I announced pretty much everything because it was just two of us,
right.
You know, to get the company off the ground. But now there's so many events.
Oh yeah.
And there's times whenever I actually have to produce or run a camera in an event,
That's
different,
right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yep, it's nice variety. Variety's spice of life, right?
Did you find like Facebook Live or anything like that has impacted? That's a whole different. The production you guys put on is professional compared to somebody sitting in the stands with a shaky camera. But has that impacted your guys' business?
We actually use Facebook Live. Whenever we're broadcasting from place, we'll do we call it a live look in or sneaky peek or whatever. And we'll use Facebook Live to our advantage. But not really. You know, most people that Facebook Live, they're just showing that their buddy.
Their buddy or certain
and it's not, and they're only going to show like a heat race or a little bit of a feature or whatever. But people that want to watch the whole event, they know that, you know, if they come SpeedShift, you're getting quality audio, you're getting good video, you're getting multiple camera. You know what I mean? It's a production. It's like watching TV. So it doesn't, I wouldn't say, it hasn't.
Not really.
No.
Okay. No. I was just curious because I know you never know. With the changing times with technology and stuff that keeps going forward, sometimes certain niches start coming out, and if you don't, you know, capitalize on that, you kind of fall behind. So
and we like I said, we try to utilize it. There are tracks that are against it. And they'll have signs up and say, "Hey, no Facebook Live, no live video," and they don't mind you recording and posting later, but they don't want you
doing a live.
Essentially, what happens is whenever we do it, the track is getting a percentage of that. So you're making their grandstands worldwide.
Right.
Is how I describe it. And if you Facebook Live for free, the track sees nothing from it. They do see, you know, the local, it's not a bad deal. I don't think if you're showing a little bit of the show or whatever, but if you're going to sit there and do the entire night for free, well, what's the track's benefit? And most people are like, oh, they're getting marketing from it. And it's like, well, but it's really crappy marketing.
True.
You know, and it's the production reflects on the track and the sanction itself. And so if it's a shaky handheld thing with somebody cussing in the background,
exactly,
it's not really a very good representation for the track.
And it's only their buddies on their Facebook watching.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're getting exposure like you guys do.
Right.
So let's say you guys got Bakersfield coming up. You sell it to the track. How do you guys expose, you know, the marketing end of it and really get people involved in wanting to pay-per-view it?
We do. Obviously, we were there last year, so we have some footage and stuff from last year, and the marketing from last year helps play into this year. But then we also do an ad. We'll run ads on the thing. And then
do you do radio ads and local?
No, it's all – everything's social media.
Social media.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest push is social media for you.
Yep.
Okay.
And then we'll get there ahead of time and do photos and stuff and give start times and different things like that. And then obviously the broadcast itself on a single day broadcast, it's you're not really going to entice people to come that night.
Right.
Everything you do beforehand does, but on a multi-day broadcast, you know, we've had people, well, the Oval National is a prime example. We broadcasted Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Well, we broadcast a practice session, and then you see people commenting on there. I'm coming. I got to come now.
Cool.
So all, and so you'll generate people coming out to the track on that same weekend. But and most of it's, you know, the next year. And I'll bring up Marshalltown Speedway. We do a lot of stuff at Marshalltown Speedway because it's a phenomenal facility. Their surface and the way they operate the show is just is second to none. And Toby Cruz is a promoter, and he'll tell you that every week there's people at his track that come up and say, I saw this on Speed Shift TV,
cool.
and I wanted to come here so bad. And we're visiting from Canada, or we're coming from Mississippi, or whatever.
Right.
And then he gets people come there and race, too, because they want to race that track and run with those guys. I mean, you got the stock car class there, Todd Reitzler and Damon Murdy, and just some really, really good names in stock cars to put on a heck of a show. The every year we do a top 20 video countdown. And this year, our number one video, I'll let the cat out of the bag on the radio show, is going to be a stock car race for Marshalltown
cool.
Speedway. And it's been viewed 1.2 million times.
Amazing.
And that's the marketing for the track I learned just from that one video. And then Todd Reitzler won that. That's why I mentioned his name.
Sure.
And he was just telling, I forget who he was talking to, but they related to me that he's selling T-shirts all over the place.
Wow.
People are like, I want one of your T-shirts because I saw your race. And it was just, yeah. So it's good for the racers.
It's
good for the track.
That local area.
Oh, yeah.
Spreading out. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So that's what it's really all about, is just exposure and get more people around and involved and helping racing.
Well, you know, one thing it helps, like, for instance, Todd is talking about somewhere back east. It gives us a chance to see a track that we normally wouldn't unless we try to find it on YouTube and somebody just videotaping it by chance or something like that. So it gets us a chance to find it, find good, great footage that you guys put on. So we always listen for your voice.
Well, and some of the tracks he's been to nobody's heard of. So
right. They'll
also find that on Speed Shift TV. So.
And that's the big thing too, is it? Yeah. And that's like, we were at Pahrump. We broadcast from Pahrump. That's been a couple of years ago now, and tried to help him out a little bit
right. And
do some stuff for there. Cause I love Pahrump. That's where I got started.
Yeah, you know, that's cool to kind of
do
something, you know, from your beginnings, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And speaking of that, I just learned tonight that he was at the Bullring for 8 years. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just learned that tonight.
Has it been that long? No.
Yeah, it was.
No, he was there for 8 years.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Yeah, Bullring for 8 years and at LVMS for 10.
Wow. See?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Time flies when you're having fun.
That's right.
Do you have any requests, you know, because you got the voice, obviously, for announcing and all that. Do you ever get any requests to, hey, I want this guy, I got to have this guy, you know, on my production or anything like that?
Actually, oddly enough, I do not a lot, but I do some voiceover work for commercials. If you call, now I can't remember who it is. It's World Racing Products. World Products that build cylinder heads and stuff
World
like that.
Products, sure.
If you call and get put on hold, you'll hear me.
Oh, but I'm going to call them
heads.
That's pretty cool.
I do have World Heads on my modified. So.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to call them tomorrow and say, hey, can you put me on hold?
If you do, you'll hear me.
Yeah, we don't lie to them. We just please put me on hold.
But yeah, I do some stuff like that. And then I like driver announcements for Kloss and Marshall Racing. I did their Chili Bowl announcements and different things. So yeah, it's kind of neat.
I mean, not that you're not busy enough. Do you look for events that you might want to announce at that really interest you? Larger venues, maybe? Or?
Yeah, you know, that's one of those deals where a lot of it, we have people submit events to us all the time. And then it just seems to, we talk about where it would be best for me to go. And then it just kind of goes from there. So I don't really have a choice.
Oh.
I guess I do,
but
I don't.
Yeah.
It has to be within our
schedule. Still got to run a business, obviously.
Yeah.
And keep Speed Shift TV afloat.
Well, the nice thing about us is we do special events. And so no matter what event I go to, it's an awesome event because it's special. And not that weekly racing isn't special, but it's just.
Have you guys only done race events? Have you done, besides, you mentioned, you know, maybe doing other type of events or anything like that?
Yeah, we're all about racing. We're all race fans. That's how it all got started. It was me and Darren and Nate and Haley and that. We're all just hardcore race fans. And yeah, we've never really considered going anywhere else. We're not going to do a basketball game or anything because I can't announce.
Well, I was just curious because, you know, sometimes you never know where you evolve you know, into, you know, whether it's from racing into something else or
and that's,
continue to do a little of both.
The nice thing about racing, and this is something else that we do, is like with the Performance Racing Industry Show, we'll do, we call them inside PRI segments. Mm-hmm. And so while we're there, if there's a product that you would like to see, you guys can let me know. But we go around and interview different product manufacturers, drivers, promoters, racetracks, anybody that's a PRI. We do these just little short segments on Facebook Live, totally for free.
So when you're at PRI, are you there as a vendor, basically?
As a media. No, we're as media.
You're media.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So we're not in a booth or anything like that. We're just roaming around, and we just do a bunch of interviews and segments. And,
so you're there to expose and,
mm-hmm.
and talk to different vendors and attendees and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And so that's kind of it's not racing, but it's racing related. And so
absolutely.
That's a lot of fun.
And that's
fun too.
Yeah. Big show. We got to go mm-hmm. sometime.
Yes. It's amazing. It is. It's my favorite trade show I've ever been to. And I've been to SEMA, which SEMA's cool, but it's
different.
Overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little different, I guess, when you look at it, where the PRI show is mostly geared towards what you do and what we
yep.
do in racing.
Towards racing. Yeah.
Technologies and all that are racing. Well, that's cool. I have to look for that. The best way to follow you on that is through Facebook.
Yeah, everything will be through our Facebook page, and it's at the top of it. There's a Get Notifications tab, and if you just hover over that and say See First, you can leave it like that all the time if you want to, but mainly during PRI, which is December 6th through the 8th, I believe, are the dates on it.
Okay.
And but yeah, we'll go live. Last year, I think we averaged probably 7, 8, 9, 10 segments a day,
wow.
I think. And they were long. Like, we would get into a booth. We were in the Speedway Motors booth and ended up, it just so happened we were there, and there was, who all did we talk to? Chris Abelson, who's a 2-time national champ. And there was just like these people wandering through, and I'm like, holy smokes,
that's
and so we got them over and talked to them. And
that's cool.
And it's very organic how it happens. It just kind of happens.
And they're just walking around. I look for parts and everything else.
Well, and they're talking to sponsors and things.
Sponsors,
and
that's true.
But we have a lot of good friends like Fast Shafts, Pat Fagan from Fast Shafts, that builds drive shafts. You guys are probably very familiar with him. He's like the number one drive shaft guy in the world. And we're good buddies with him. So we always swing by his booth because he always has something cool coming out, like carbon fiber drive shafts or whatever, you know. It's a good time. It's a fun time. But if people are listening on here and there's somebody you would like us to talk to, if you're a racer or if there's a product that you are interested in or you know something's coming out, just send me an email, chet@speedshifttv.com, and we'll track them down. We'll talk to them for you and get them on video.
I'll have to think of a couple. I know there's probably one or two out there that I'd like to find out more.
Well, there you go. And it doesn't matter. And that's the thing, too. It doesn't have to be – it can be anything to do with motorsports. If they're a PRI, we're all about it.
Because
there's, like, diesel performance there and different things like that, too. And we're not afraid to talk to anybody. We'll blunder in there.
Are there any booths you like to go to because of their giveaways? Like, man, these guys always give away the best stuff.
You know, it's funny you say that because they have they'll give you a bag when you go in the performance racing industry. Bag or whatever, and you can fill it up with goodies while you're walking around. But the best place for me is there's a media room, and you have to be media to get in there. You gotta have your media badge, but they have free coffee in there. That's my favorite giveaway. I've been there all the time.
I
love coffee.
In there. Sorry, I didn't bring any.
I can't get it in the bag. I just gotta,
you know how it is. You go to these shows and stuff. You're like, man, these guys always give away. You know,
and every year it's something different and something cool. You know, from the booze and that. But they do have a lot of neat stuff that they're giving away. And the best thing about PRI is they're not allowed to sell stuff. They can't sell things there. So there's no salesman in your face trying to sell you something. It's just they're talking about their product.
The products
and it's very low-key.
And
it's cool. There's a lot of neat stuff.
That's cool. I know a few people that what they do every year, they just go to the PRI show, and that's what they wait for every year.
Yeah. I can't. I was going to say Christmas for racers, but no kidding.
You know, it's something like I was going to talk to Gary about maybe going one of these years. But I know once we go, it's going
to
be a tradition.
Go every year.
We'll have to go every year. And, it's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Don't be scared.
Right.
It's racing.
That's right.
Don't be scared.
There's so many, you know, in a place like that or like the promoter's workshop they have up in Reno is such a cool place to go because – with motorsports, again, it's a small family, but everybody's very passionate about it. They love it. And so you make so many friends at those places. And that's the promoter workshop's a very good deal because you can talk to promoters from all over the country.
Right.
And, you know, and there might be some somebody out in Virginia that's doing something very cool and that you know nothing about, or you never had that idea, and you can apply it to your racetrack or your series or whatever it may be. So yeah, anytime you can get around a group of people that are as passionate about something as you are, it's a good experience.
And that's huge in this, like you said, the motorsports industry is a small community, basically. It's, you know, seems bigger than it is, but like the Promoters Workshop up there, they do it in Reno, of course, in Daytona and near the PRI show. They have one that they do during that same segment time frame. But we've gone to one last year. We'll probably be going this year to the RPM show up there, and we just met and we're able to pick the brains of other promoters that we would have not got the chance to anywhere else, you know. So those type of events are huge for us, you know.
As he says, we were up there, and the guy from Marshalltown. Every time you bring up Marshalltown, makes me remember about him. And
Cruz, he was up there.
Yeah, he was a guest speaker there for a couple of days.
Okay. I think he'll be doing that again this year too.
I mean, I'm telling you, and to have them guys talk to you and give you the talk about the experience that they have and be able to get something out of that is huge. You know, you can't put a price on that. You know, it's just amazing meeting people like that. So,
well, and with you guys, you run a late model truck series,
correct?
Which is very, very cool. And there's a truck series that runs out in the Midwest as well.
That's right. The CRS.
Super. There's.
I know there's usually a couple of them out there. I talked to a couple of different ones. They called me, and I know there's one or two of them that are petering out, and they're like, man, we're from wherever, it was Kansas or somewhere, and we got nowhere else. We got one of our tracks we raced at is closing. We got one track to race at, and we don't like racing there. I was like, well, this is a long ways to come race with us, but if you want to
figure something out,
right? Yeah, we could do something, but maybe we'll do a special event, you know, or something where you guys come out once a year or something, you know. But yeah, you know, there are some other series out there, and we hate to see any series or tracks die, you know.
Yeah.
So we do what, you know, we'll do what we can to help, you know, out in these promoter workshops and these PRI shows and all that, all help, you know?
Well, that was, speaking of series, I'm going to bring this up since out, and I'll ask you guys about it. I just read a thing where the Spears SRL Southwest Series and Lucas Oil Modifieds are teaming up. Awesome is that?
That is amazing.
Yeah. They are phenomenal series, and both of them, to my knowledge, were very healthy, and now they're joining forces, and that's going to be an incredible show.
Oh yeah, that's going to be a traveling show in itself. Just every time the Spears show up, you know, with modifieds and, you know, the late models that they have, that's amazing.
Yeah, I was happy to see that.
Yeah, you know, and that's the upper echelon of the local series, I guess. You know, you got to have money, and that Lucas Oil Modified, you know, Greg Scheidecker, Bill Rizzone, all them guys that really built that series up, did a great job, and they pushed it to where it's a money sport, you know, and you know, and it's good and bad, you know. You attract the best of the best racers, but you know, it takes money to race.
It's like anything else, and sometimes some people are not able to join in with that.
Right.
That's true.
But it's good, you know. That's a great thing that they teamed up. You know, it's gonna be a great show every time they come into a track and put on a show. It's amazing. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. I'm looking forward to them guys. Of course, they got the short track nationals coming up this weekend at the Bullring. So if you go to lvms.com, click on the Bullring link and check out the schedule there. They'll be there this weekend. Lucas Oil Modifieds, the SRL Spears late models. I think the USAC
midgets.
The Focus Midget,
the Focus
series
midgets,
or
whatever they change. I can't remember what it's called now.
Yeah, they're Honda.
Right. Yeah, that's what
Honda
it is.
Something.
Yep.
Honda. Yeah.
Yep.
We've ever deal with those guys, but I know it's some pretty good shoes in it. And
right.
They get right around that place.
So.
HPD.
HPD.
I don't know what that stands for. And then they got the Junior Late Models Championship.
So. That's always a good weekend. That was always one of my favorite weekends at the Bullring. Was that West Coast, because it's nice, it's cool outside, cool temperatures, you can kind of bundle up and drink some hot chocolate and watch some really fast race cars.
It's one of those weekends where you go out and you underestimated how cold it's going to be. Oh, man, I'm going to run out to my truck and get my jacket, my second jacket.
Where are your bib overalls?
Yeah.
Of course, I see Gary gave you something to cover your head
with.
He
did. I got a beanie. I got some stickers. I thought you were supposed to give that to your guests after they left, but maybe he was trying to get rid of me. He gave me everything before we even started.
He was thinking it might be cold in here, so you wanted to warm your head up.
Yeah, it's cold outside, and he got no hair to cover up.
I rub that in.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. You see what I got to deal with.
Don't worry. We ain't done.
We busted balls about his gray hair. So
you deal with JJ and see what you get.
Yeah, we miss JJ over there, man. We'll have to call him up around Christmas.
Where is
like
he?
That. You know, he had some medical issues and health issues and stuff, so he decided to take a break. And, you know, you've talked to him not that long
ago. Well, if
ago,
he's listening, hi, JJ. I miss him. Yeah. He's got a great voice.
Yeah, he's got a strong voice.
Yeah. Yep.
Strong is the word.
You know, and he's the go-to guy. Like you said, you have your guy, and, you know, he's the guy that knows the names and the different people and everybody. If, hey, JJ, who's this guy? He's like, and he'll shoot it off to you, but I'm the worst at it.
He can't remember what he did 2 days ago, but he sure remembers the name of all them racers.
And I think you intimidated Justin. That's why he didn't come in, you know.
Shit.
Well,
we're on the internet. It's
that's
okay.
Right. It's okay. Beep. So what do you got planned coming up, you know, for you personally? I mean, aside from all the racing and stuff, you got a place to stay, I guess, when you go back east still?
I do.
Buddy's
actually
house still?
I'm very fortunate. Jerry, you guys know, remember Jerry used to hang out with me at the racetrack all the time, and he and Debbie kind of took me in. Their daughters both married and moved out, and so they had a spare bedroom. And because I was talking about renting a place, you have to have a home base.
Right.
And he said, well, we have empty bedrooms. And he said, we need somebody to talk to. So if you could maybe stay here whenever you're in town. And no, they were nice enough to take me in and they feed me and everything else. And we get to do some cool stuff. And then back east, Sean and Lori have been friends of mine for as long as I can remember. And they actually, Sean has a shop. He builds, they do Savage Customs, and he does street rods and different things like that.
That's cool.
And then his wife has a hair, a day spa, I guess what you call it, above the shop. Well, in the back of that, they put in a bedroom for me. So I have my own place with a bathroom, and that's in Maryland. And so I actually have a place on both ends of the country. So I think people just feel sorry for me. And that makes it very easy for me to go back and forth.
I feel
me
sorry
in.
For Chet doing what he wants to do for his...
he sounds homeless.
Actually, it feels like it sometimes.
Hey, what a better place to stay than you got race cars and a place to hang out and get your nails done and your hair done.
Yeah, that's what I haven't really taken advantage of either one of those. But no, that's, I just know some very good people, and it was one of those deals. I travel almost all the time anyway. So.
And you like that though, huh?
I do. I love it. Absolutely, positively love it. Yeah.
No girlfriend. No.
I was married. A lot of people find it hard to believe, but I was once married, and I got divorced in 1998.
What did you do?
Ran like the Dickens.
I started announcing races.
I got into racing. You know how
it goes. I got into racing.
Yeah. No. I was married whenever I lived back east, and then got divorced in 1998, and ended up moving to Alabama. And then I was in West Virginia. Get this. I was in West Virginia, moved to Alabama, went to South Carolina. So I hit every state with a bad accent and picked all that up from them. And then I moved to Las Vegas. And it's a miracle that people can understand me to begin with.
That's funny. Did you like any of those places over others?
I loved every place I ever lived, to be honest with you. West Virginia is a fiercely underrated state. It's a beautiful, beautiful state. And Alabama was a lot of fun. I was in Tuscaloosa. I was going to University of Alabama at the time. But, I mean, Alabama is where you have Talladega Short Track, the Hornet's Nest, which we were talking about. There's some really, really, really good racers and really good racing in Alabama. And but then same is true of South Carolina. I worked up there. I was a whitewater rafting guide. But we would go to I can't remember the name of the racetrack.
Well, who would have known, right?
Yeah, but there was there's a bunch of racetracks in South Carolina, but the one that we went to all the time is actually in Georgia. It's right across the state line. I'll think of it later. But we would go there every Saturday night and watch just to watch the races, and then ended up out here. But
what pulled you away from each one of those places? I mean, was it
life,
work, life,
life?
Know,
just life
changes happen,
and it just one thing led to another, and then here we are. And that's, I think, that's why I'm happy doing what I do, because I live in a camper pretty much full time. Right. And a lot of times I'll pass a place and I'll think, man, this is really nice here. It'd be cool to have a house. And then right. I think, well, then I'd have to go back to that house every day. And I don't like that so much. I like traveling. I like being at different places.
I get that. We'll probably go travel somewhere. Like, hey, this is nice. I like this place. But, you know, I got to kind of rewind a little bit. Like, well, I'm just here visiting. You know? Yeah. Then I go somewhere else totally different. Like, hey, I like this place.
Yeah.
Like, reality, yeah. You know, come on. Reel yourself back a little bit.
The it is nice to come back out of here, though, to the desert landscape. This is my favorite.
You
this
know,
is, and it's funny because even though I grew up back east, this is home. This feels like
you
home.
You feel like this.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah.
Cool. That's good. You know, people, you know, have mixed feelings, of course, about the desert landscaping. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, my wife, she just loves the beauty of the desert landscape, you know, the plant life. And, you know, people don't see that. They just think it's dirt and,
mm-hmm.
you know, but there's a lot more going on. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I like it. I like the area. I like the dryness. I like the heat, believe it or not.
I like the weather.
Yeah, I like the weather.
Yeah, you don't have
it's cold, but it's not that cold.
Yeah, races don't get rained out here very often.
That's true. That's true. When they do, everybody panics.
Oh, yeah, it makes the news.
Rain. Yeah, 1 inch of rain, we got a flood.
No.
You ever think of doing anything like into like drag racing or anything like that? You said you like guys.
I did. I actually
racing.
Yeah. Whenever I was at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, I announced a lot of drag racing, and I still
have
this
you been
year
to the four wide.
I have not.
Track? I have not been
no.
there either. So.
They're running four. They're not running four wide this weekend, but they are running all four lanes this weekend for the Streetcar Super
oh,
Nationals.
Sweet.
Yeah, they're running drag radials in two lanes and then big tire cars in
the
other two. But I announced a lot of drag racing, and then. Chris Blair, who you guys remember, has Gateway Motorsports Park, and I went down and I've announced a few events for him down there and a little bit of drag racing and that. So I still, if I have open weekends, I'll do, I call it freelance stuff where I just go and announce and I'm just an announcer. And that's almost like a vacation. Even though I'm doing the same thing I do with Speed Shift,
you,
it's a
you
vacation.
You don't mind that when you show up, somebody say, hey, man, you're here, because they know you're that's
yeah.
your background. Hey, can you announce?
No.
You ever
no,
want to sit back and say, hey, I just want to be the fly on the wall and win and
I,
watch?
If it's, you know, in a situation like that, if it's something where they need help, then I'm glad to help out. I feel like the racetracks, an announcer is very, very important. And I'm not saying this because I'm an announcer. I'm saying this as a fan, because I was a fan long before I ever became an announcer. But an announcer at a racetrack, I think, is one of the most important things out there, because
absolutely,
really, really good racing can be ruined by a lackluster, you know, an announcer is just not excited and or whatever. And then, but the opposite is true too. You can have some racing that maybe isn't stellar, but an announcer can make it interesting enough if they tell the story
right.
that it'll engage fans. And so, anytime if I'm at a racetrack and I'm there just watching, they see me and they're like, hey, you want to come up and call the legends or whatever? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll do that for you and just to have some fun. And
cool. Yeah. I mean, do you, let's say you go to a track and you're just doing an announcing part, not anything to do with the Speed Shift TV. Do you look at the crowd, like, let's say it's a low energy crowd, you try to pump it up more and you know, talk about when the racing's happening and all that?
Yeah,
or do you just go with it every time?
I just do my thing, okay. Yeah, and just see. And you can judge a crowd. It's like anything else. It's all entertainment. The whole thing's entertainment. It's like going to see Carrot Top. You know, Carrot
right.
Top, I'm sure, doesn't have the same act every night. It depends on the reaction from the crowd.
Right.
And
that's what I was wondering. If
yeah,
you,
announcers
you
just kind of
–
oh, yeah, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. And your humor is different in different places and different things you know you can get away with in certain areas and maybe not other areas too.
Right.
And
really, announcing is not easy. I did it in Pahrump, I think, for two races, but it's not easy. And I didn't know what I was getting into. And I was like, all right, well, I'll do it. He needed somebody. And, of course, right off the bat, I had a heckler right
yeah.
down below telling me, you know, how
and,
I'm doing
it
wrong.
Gary.
Yeah, it was Gary. And Gary was down there like, what the
well,
hell are you doing?
No, as JJ, he also done some announcing.
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah,
same
yep,
thing
yep,
he's
so.
Saying, man, just instantly, man. That guy just jumped all over.
You know,
man,
and I wasn't
just,
expecting it. You know, I was
yeah.
like, okay, how do I handle this? You know, I mean, I don't want to piss the guy off, but I want to, you know, I want to accommodate him too, you
right.
know, because he had some valid points going on. Like, maybe I am doing this wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's the things that I think about. I mean, I never really, usually I just ignore. If somebody's going to heckle, I just ignore them.
Right.
Or,
and that's,
later,
that's
they'll get tired of hearing them or the people around them will. But there is some things, and it's funny that you talk about that. There was the other night, there was a race, and that was at Arizona Speedway. We were at Arizona Speedway with the AMSOIL USAC National Sprint Car Series, and we had a race going on, and there was two things that were happening in the race. We had a heck of a race. It was this all in the same heat race. We had the race lead was won by 15 thousandths of a second.
Wow.
It was a transfer into the feature event. The transfer spot was won by 5 thousandths of a second. So you had two really, really, really close battles. And whenever they were coming around, I focused on normally, if you have hardcore race fans, you focus on transfer spot in a heat race because that's the most important thing is transferring into the feature event. But I, for whatever reason, as they were coming around, I thought to myself, well, I need to focus on the race lead because these are casual fans because they only get to see the sprint cars once every so often down there. And so they're worried about who wins the heat race. And a lot of these people don't understand how important the transfer spot is.
Right.
And so it was a deal where I talked to Tim Truex from Loud Pedals on the camera afterwards. And I said, I know that the transfer spot was the most important, but I had to talk about it because I knew the people to them, it's all about who wins.
Right.
And, so stuff like that, I mean, an announcer thinks about those things too. Stuff like that. You have to keep it in the back of your mind is who's watching.
Point, you know, and that's something that obviously over time you've learned and, you know.
I think I just blundered into it. It's just been a fluke on my part. No, but I go back to that and speaking of drag racing, NHRA announcer, for crying out loud. I only think it was Bob Glidden now and he raced. Bob Fry. That announced for NHRA for years and years and years was very good about knowing his crowd and how he explained drag racing. And that's, I always took to him for inspiration. Everybody always asks, who's your favorite announcer? And that is hands down, without a doubt, across all forms of motorsports, my favorite announcer was Bob Fry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's cool. You know, when you can look at someone like that and pick up on what you like about what they do and kind of transfer it into what you do, you know, that, huge. It's something else, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
We should always be learning.
Yeah, exactly. Do you, I know you like what you do now and all that, but do you ever look at anything bigger and better or, you know, than just
this?
You know, I mean, are you just where you're at?
I am. And that came up last year, maybe the year before. Actually, JJ had asked about that and asked about, do you ever think about going to NASCAR?
Well, because absolutely thinks that's where you should go. You know, you got the talent
I had that opportunity and that was whenever I was still at the Bullring, there was I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he was the regional director in NASCAR and they approached me about going to Daytona down there for the cup race, obviously, but some of the other racing down there just as kind of a tryout or whatever. And at that time I turned it down because I know my style of announcing, I'm very casual in my announcing. I can be professional. Obviously, I did that. I did that for the cup race at Las Vegas Motor Speedway for years. I can be in professional mode and do everything by the book and stuff. But I prefer to be casual and have fun. And that is a short track style of announcing. And so I feel like my place is at short tracks. It's at little dirt tracks and little asphalt tracks and being casual and interacting with the fans and having fun and having a good time. That's what makes me happy. And I think at this point in my life, I just want to be happy. And so NASCAR, the higher levels of NASCAR are not for me. The higher levels of NHRA are not for me. The higher levels of Formula One and all that is not me. That's not me at all. And so,
And anytime you go into those ranks, I guess it becomes more political and you have to be politically correct about everything and you're probably given more of a script and you can't do what you want to do.
A lot of people don't realize that if you do a NASCAR event, if you do a cup event and you're an announcer, the script is exactly right. It's literally like the opening ceremonies are scripted down to the second.
Right.
The second is how it's scripted out.
Crazy.
And so whenever the race goes to caution, there's certain things you have to do for caution. You give like a 10-second recap of why the caution is out, and then you instantly have to read so many ads. And this ad has to be read five times. This one has to be read three times.
The guys that pay the bills get exposed.
And then you go back into whatever else, and then you're allowed to get back to the racing action. And so it's very – well, and it's something, too. There was a beverage company that was a major sponsor, and they were handing out let me think of the proper wording here. They were handing out it was samples, but you couldn't call them free samples.
Oh.
They're not allowed to be called free samples. They were whatever the word was, complimentary. They were complimentary samples. You could not call them free samples. If you call them free samples, you got in trouble.
Wow.
Complimentary, you didn't get in trouble.
Huh.
And so just stuff like that. And it's just, it's different. And there's announcers that like that and thrive in that. There's a lot of really good announcers in that, but it's not me.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that, you know, hey, you know what you like to do. You know where you're comfortable. You know where you're happy. That's huge. You know, us this year doing the promoting with the late model truck series, you know, we, you know, have to go outside of being racers into a different role, and we get more pressure from different angles, and, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not fun. You know, but you got to deal with it, you know, and you got to be professional and be politically correct a lot of times. And, you know, and it's tough. You know, it's a lot of hard work, you know. And
that's something, too, where if you go into promotion, and you know this, and I say this all the time, and a lot of racers need to remember this, that as a racer, you can go to the racetrack and have a bad weekend. And you're going to go to the promoter, and you're going to tell him about your bad weekend and why it's bad and what he should do to make it better.
Yeah.
But then the next weekend you go, you have a great weekend.
Right.
And the weekend after that, you have a great weekend. Well, unfortunately for the promoter, every weekend there's a racer that had a bad weekend.
Absolutely.
And so he never gets to have a good weekend.
Right.
And people forget that promoters are doing it because they're passionate about sport and they love what they're doing. But also at the same time, they never get to have a good weekend.
Right.
And you're learning that.
Something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that racer ain't going to come back and tell him what a great weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
That bad. Yeah. He won't come the next weekend and say, hey, guess what? We're having a good weekend this weekend.
Yeah.
It's just the other team that's having a bad weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said.
Yeah, nope. They go to In-N-Out Burger after the race are over and hoop and holler and everything else and call it a night. Meanwhile, you're there taking it.
Tell them what a bad day and what a bad guy you are.
Yeah,
how you should have done things better.
Yeah.
Nah, you know, it's all fun, though. Like you said, we obviously do it because we love to do it. We don't, you know, we're not in it getting rich or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in it to do what we love to do. And same thing with you and doing your announcing. And obviously you got to make a living. SpeedShift TV is a great, you know, it's a great business. I mean, that's something that I think this industry needs. I hope to see, you know, that grow even more, you know. Too bad there's not five other chats out there announcing.
You know, and there's a lot of good people out there, and we keep hiring good people, and we're always looking for good people.
Have you grown year? Cool.
Yeah.
That's really good. I mean, you obviously, along with people, you got equipment growth and, you know, expenses and all that.
We actually, whenever we first started, it was basically Darren and myself out at race. Well, it was Darren by himself for a couple months, and then finally I was able to join him, and we did that for a while. So we had one broadcast a weekend. And that was, you know, it might have been a multi-day event, but it was basically one broadcast weekend.
Right?
Yeah. And then I'll never forget the first weekend we decided we had two broadcasts in the same weekend. Everybody was nervous. We're all nervous. Holy smokes. Yeah. And then pretty soon it was three broadcasts in the weekend. And now it's nothing for us to do, have four simultaneous broadcasts in
that's
the same weekend. And with the addition of New Zealand, it's potential next year being five broadcasts in the same weekend. And so, it's grown a lot. And we're next year, we're expanding even more. We have more stuff on tap that we haven't announced yet. And we're not able to discuss just yet until we get everything ironed out. But
we can't wait to hear about it. Yeah.
Next year, when I come back, the little bit of hair I do have is going to be totally gone.
Poor Craig.
It'll be all disheveled. And...
we'll get you a wig. How about that?
There you go. I'll need something.
That's cool. I can't wait to hear what you got coming. It sounds like a, you know, it's going to be a huge deal for you guys and in addition to the motorsport industry. So, you know, can't wait.
It'll be fun.
Maybe you could do something for us sometime.
Well, that was going to be my question. How many events do you got? The Late Model Truck Series, obviously, LMTSTruck.com is the place to go for that. How many events do you guys run a year?
Well, you know, this next year, we're still working out schedules. We're looking at hopefully maybe 7 to 8 events plus a couple of special events on top of that. So,
well, now I have to ask your trucks, are they, is that like a metric chassis or are they?
Now keep in mind, you know, we're a touring series, so we can't have 13 races at, you know, like at one particular track, like certain divisions and stuff like that. We travel to the local tracks here. You remember the old speed trucks back in the day? Mechanics were speed trucks.
That's
what we are.
Okay.
They disbanded about 5 years or so ago, and we're rekindling.
So it's
the old
a really
trucks.
Good show then.
It's gonna be. Yeah. We're doing our best.
It's
work in progress. You know. We're getting the old trucks dusted off out there. We're getting. You just can't believe the amount of interest that we have. People constantly calling us every week
and wanting to get involved and all that stuff. It's amazing. And we hope to take that momentum and keep growing with it. But yeah, back in the day that series mm-hmm. was huge.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. And, you know, just economy hit that series that they changed hands a couple times and they disbanded a few years back. And I think timing right now is like, let's say the Lucas Oil Modifieds being, acquired with the Spears late model series and stuff. There's a hole in the industry where we fit, you know,
right.
we provide a spec racing series somewhere for, let's say, legend drivers or Bandolero drivers coming up and have them to a place to jump in a full size, you know, race.
A very competitive truck.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very competitive.
We were just down in Havasu last weekend
yep.
and had a 14-year-old girl racing with us out of Tucson.
Yep. Excellent. Yep. So what was her name?
Jennifer Hall. Yeah.
Okay.
Jennifer Hall. She's new. She races some dirt. She has a dirt street stock and a dirt Hornet.
Okay. That's why I was asking, because I always look for new names to watch for.
Yeah. Watch for her. Her family is just amazing. And she's very talented. She's very smooth. She's fast. Jennifer Hall, keep an eye on her. She's something else. Yeah, absolutely. And we're looking forward to them coming racing with us next year. So.
And I have to ask, because it's been years since I've been to Havasu, is it still as awesome as it always was?
I love Havasu. That's one of my favorite tracks.
For asphalt racing, that is hands down one of the most entertaining and exciting tracks that you can ever visit.
Absolutely.
Bill had to add more seats.
Did he?
Yeah, he added two more seats on each side of
the grandstand.
Seats, yeah, the original grandstands. Two more on each side. So,
good deal.
And he always fills in seats.
That's the thing I'm going to throw out, because I know there's probably some people listening just that know me that are on here, but if you're ever out in Arizona, you have to go to Havasu.
Absolutely.
Havasu is so much fun and such a beautiful setting.
It is. You can ask for a better place to be, especially this time of year. They have a winter series there, so if you're not familiar with it, go to Havasu95speedway.com. They go from usually about late September till about March, April-ish winter series. So, you know, when you're off during, from racing, you got somewhere to
watch. Check out schedule, because I do have that right before Christmas. Yep. Maybe I'll go to Havasu.
There you go. Check it out. They got some stuff going on. Who knows?
Awesome. I love it down there.
And speaking of that, while we're on it real quick, our opening race for 2019 season is going to be in Havasu also March 23rd. So if you're ever around in the area, come watch us down there.
Man, I'll be gone by then, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
we'll get
love
you
there
in one of these races. We'll let you know.
You can check out my Facebook page. I put
there
it on
you go.
I put on everything. So. And since we're on it, congratulations to Mark Allison for winning
our championship,
this
year.
Oh, did he?
First, yep.
Why am I not surprised by this?
Yeah, well, exactly, right? You know, the man who's priced at more race car seats.
He's raced everything.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And
that's awesome.
Yeah,
and thanks to him
Mark.
For helping us out with this. He's
a
good deal. Yeah, Mark's a phenomenal talent. And like you said, he's raced just about everything and won in
just about everything. He's the most patient. I haven't watched any other race where we can watch him in 18th place 1 minute and about three laps later, and he don't even do anything crazy. He's all the way up in second or first place. Yeah. Like, how the hell did he get there?
As a matter of fact, he won Willow Springs.
Yeah,
did he?
Willow Springs race.
That's awesome.
Track down there. Anyways, we only got a couple minutes left. You want to talk about SpeedShift TV or any other sponsors or anything like that? Facebook, where your Facebook page
is?
Yeah,
just find us and keep up with us on Facebook, SpeedShift TV on Facebook. We're also on Instagram, Snapchat. And Twitter at SpeedShift TV, so it's very easy.
If we were to Google it, what's the best thing? Just SpeedShift
TV. SpeedShift TV,
we're
all over the place. You can't miss it. Watch the little 500.
I'm going to look for that. That's for sure. You know, we can't thank you enough, Chet. Thank you for our gobble special.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Like I said, I really do look forward to coming here because I get free stuff from you.
We appreciate it. You know what? We appreciate it.
No coffee, but
it's all right.
You know what?
I got a
Duncan
beanie
here.
And stickers and magnets and
I'll bring you some Dunkin' next year.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say I am because I'll forget. So.
So thanks again, Chet, for being here. I look for SpeedShift.com events coming up. Easy to find. We'll find you here next Tuesday at onwheelsnow.com live at 6 p.m.
We have the women
here, so we'll explain that next Tuesday. You got to join us. We got the women in.
I got to hit on the wrong weekend.
Yeah, exactly. You're just the women. So thanks for joining us. We'll be live.
Thanks for being here, Seth. Thanks for listening.